in medicine, in healthcare, it's clear, you know, that you can see impact, right? I think that's what draws many of us to it. You can see when you made somebody who was sick better, okay? You can see when you diagnose something and you're like, oh, this is the issue. So whether that be accessing care, whether that be decreasing disease or even preventing death, right? It's hard to say, I'm not making impact. I'm not saying that. We literally are, as healthcare professionals, making impact as providers, whatever you're doing in healthcare, right? You are making impact. However, what I realized is that for many years, I had ignored the signs that it's not that I wasn't making impact, but I was actually limiting my impact in my workplace. And it wasn't like I just was in the workplace and it was limited. You're listening to the Melanin and Medicine Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Molara Thomas Uwamedino, community health justice consultant, social entrepreneurship coach, and founder of two multi-six-figure social enterprises. Here, my guests and I discuss our journeys inside and outside of traditional healthcare systems and how we're building, funding, and growing justice-centered health innovations and enterprises. We'll share lessons learned as mission-driven women who are dismantling the status quo and rebuilding a more just and equitable healthcare system. So if you're tired of the injustice in healthcare, but ready to talk about action and solutions, especially BIPOC women-led ones, you're in the right place. I hope you get inspired, get a plan, and get to work. Welcome to the Sisterhood. Hello, mavens, and welcome back to the Melanin and Medicine Podcast. It is Dr. O here, and we're back for another episode. Super excited, of course. And really, you know, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we get at early in this season, very early in this season, is the fact that often we don't realize how much we are capable of in our journey to really create impact and really move the needle on health equity and justice. I think that many of us today, we're going to talk about whether or not your career, your current career, is actually limiting or lifting your impact in the healthcare space. And I say this because I say everything really from a lot of the lessons learned, the easy way, but most of them the hard way, about kind of what would have life been like if I hadn't, you know, wasted the time that I wasted. And this is not to say I've used my career in amazing ways, but just thinking about, when I say wasted, thinking about when I recognized that something needed to change, but I was starkly and just so scared of shifting, and how much like time was wasted because I just didn't shift. Because the shift is going to happen because it needs to, but you know, a lot of us delay it, and I am a part of that. And I'm still learning. Even when I realize, oh, Molara, you know how this is going to turn out. Just make the move, take action. I still do it. And so some of you can relate to that. So that's the topic for today. I want to make sure that you all, once again, I want to give you love, because you all are sharing, you all are downloading, you all are giving these episodes to a friend. And if you know any women of color who are doing health equity work, who are either in a space where they want to do more, they want to make it bigger, they want to fund it, they want to build it, they want to grow it, whether it be in your institution or your own business, you should be listening and you should be sharing. So thank you for all of those. And then for extra credit, those of you who can leave a review, please do. So let's get started on today's episode. But you know, before we do, of course, we always have to get into hot topics. So we'll get into that. And then also I want to make sure that we have a reminder that guess what? It is February and it is almost time for our Stop Waiting, Start Creating workshop. So for any of you who have been sitting down, been like thinking about that big idea for a month, a year, 10 years, whatever it is, I'm going to invite you to the workshop so we can get started, so you can learn kind of how you need to move, what are the things to get you started, and also to get you past this idea that, but I don't have the money. Yeah, we're going to talk about how you get funding as well for the big idea that you have. So make sure you go to bit.ly/startcreatingnow, or you can go to our website at www.melaninandmedicine.co. And then right at the top, you can click register, and so that you can get to this workshop. Our workshop is going to be on the 28th of February at 8 p.m. Eastern. All right, so let's get into some hot topics, and then we'll transition on into our episode. Okay, so welcome, everyone. So I have two things that I wanted to talk about, and the first one has to do with Jeff Bezos. You're like, Jeff Bezos and health equity? Yeah, so, you know, as Amazon tries to take over the world, we knew it was coming, right? And I think many of you probably have already either have come across Amazon Care, but basically Amazon is planning to expand to 20 new cities for Amazon Care, which is their healthcare service arm. Yes, Amazon has a healthcare service arm, for those of you that don't know. And they pretty much have been offering virtual care and in-person care that has been limited. And they've been doing this since 2019, telehealth and mobile health. And basically, they're offering like COVID-19 and flu testing, vaccinations, treatment of illness or injuries. And the reason I bring it up here is the fact that, you know, a lot of people mistake access with equity, right? And so it's like, let's make this more accessible. Let's make this more accessible. But when we think about equity, we have to think about all of the levers, right? So there's a socioeconomic piece, there's a racial piece, there's a language piece. There's so many different intersections, as we know. And ultimately, it does take a very, very intentional way of looking and designing health services so that they can address those issues. So for example, I remember during COVID, how a lot of organizations were like, okay, we're going to start people on telehealth. And then you had to download this app. And then that was a big deal. Or you have text messaging, but then people who have to pay for text messages to come to them. And if they aren't, you know, if they really have to count every penny, they're not going to accept that text message. And they don't want that, right? And so we have to think, really, what I like to say is think progressively. And so what progressively looks like is who potentially is the most marginalized person, right? So if we think about all the intersections, potentially someone who is of color, maybe they are also lesbian, gay, or trans. Maybe they are also poor. Maybe they also don't speak English, right? Let's take that person. What do we need to actually put forward for that person to actually be able to access the service that we're doing? When we take that person, we already know that once we've identified that person, that whatever we put together is going to support everyone else who has at least a tiny bit more privilege than that person. And so it's a good lens to do this. And so, of course, as you look through Amazon, right, they don't accept Medicaid. They say they accept if you have an employer and Medicaid, but the employer plan is the paid plan. So definitely if you're poor or low income, well, maybe not, right? It doesn't say anything about language diversity. I'm going to check. So that's an issue. And I just bring it up because I think as we talk about access and tech and all of these things, we have to think about that lens. One of the greatest examples that always sticks with me is about the fact that, you know, all these ramps that exist, right? They existed because somebody was like, well, how are people in wheelchairs going to get into that office or into that building? But guess what? even though it was meant for that person with that specific issue, so many of us benefit, right? I'm tired. I'm not taking the stairs. I'm going to take the ramp, you know, whatever it is. And so that's the lens that I want us to think about this. And also, you know, just know about Amazon, like know that this is what they're doing. And also know that Walmart is on the way, Best Buy is on the way. And what does that mean for us in terms of how do we make sure that we're at the table to make sure that these kind of things, even if they are beneficial in terms of like the efficiency and effectiveness, that everyone gets a chance to actually access that level and really speaking up about that. So wanted to share that in general. And then the other thing that caught my eye this week was about Becerra. So our Health and Human Services Secretary, Xavier Becerra, said the department, he actually talked about health equity work. And he actually did, I believe it was a keynote address. And it was during a health affairs briefing called Racism and Health Virtual Event. Also, I have to shout out Rachel Hardiman, because an article that I read, I put it on my Twitter, that was amazing about measuring anti-racism and what does that look like for us. And it was everything, especially for someone who is very into, you know, academic journals and quantitative data and all of that lovely stuff. So if that is you, if you are like me, then go take a read of that. And then if you are not like me, you can go to my Twitter and just scroll a little bit and you'll see it. If you're not like me, don't read it. Read the abstract. All right. So I wanted to talk about Xavier Becerra and his keynote address. And he talks about the fact that they intentionally focused on communities of color this year in terms of really like thinking about everything that they were implementing. Of course, it starts with COVID-19 and the idea that we needed to actually do things differently. One of the things I like about this is that he talked about how essential, you know, as somebody who loves community health work, is very, very entrenched in that equity and health begins in communities, not clinics. He talks about how the outreach piece was so important. He talked about how being able to think about ways that they could improve appointment availability, language diversity, being able to do public health education, right? All of these things are important. And I wonder and I worry at how do we make sure that once, you know, COVID at some point is more endemic rather than a pandemic, right? How do we make sure that these things really become more of a proactive piece of our work instead of reactive? And so that we are funding and getting protected time to do community health work as part of our work inside of our workplaces, right? I know that I'm gonna talk about the fact that many of us are doing all of this work that we know is effective for our communities, but our institutions don't value it. And they don't. And this is one of the things around limiting our careers. And is that happening for us? So I wanted to just shout that out and make sure that you had a chance to think about, okay, where is Becerra's keynote address? So you could take a look at what he talked about. And then also he talked about the Medicaid programs to expand coverage for mothers, which is really interesting. They're doing a demonstration project in a few states. I think it's Missouri, Illinois, Georgia, New Jersey, and Virginia, and basically extending the 60-day coverage to a full 365 days for birthing individuals, they said. I like that. And so looking at kind of what's going to be the outcomes, maternal health outcomes for that and Medicaid programs, and hopefully then, of course, expanding that across the nation. And so the fight continues, right, of making sure that there is equity around maternal health, around just not just diseases and specific issues, but for health in general. And I'm just really excited, at least, that there's a lens talking about this. The question is now, how do we expand this to be not just solely focused on specific, very horrible like outcomes like COVID and maternal mortality. How do we start to think about this being kind of the foundation for everything that we're doing? So outside of that, I hope that these two things are things that you will look up and take a look at Amazon Care and Health and Human Secretary Becerra's keynote address at Health Affairs, what was it called? Health Affairs Briefing, Racism and Health virtual event. So thank you for letting me talk about what I wanted to talk about. So those are our hot topics. Let's get into the episode. All right, everyone. So today, as I mentioned, I wanted to talk about, is your career limiting or is it lifting your impact in the healthcare space? So why am I talking about this? So it's very easy to continue on a familiar road, okay? So many of you, like me, went into healthcare, you did your training, you did your education, then you saw what everyone else did, and it's like, okay, now I go to this and do that, and you just continue. And I think this is really important because in medicine, in healthcare, it's clear, you know, that you can see impact, right? I think that's what draws many of us to it. You can see when you made somebody who was sick better, okay? You can see when you diagnose something and you're like, oh, this is the issue. So whether that be accessing care, whether that be decreasing disease or even preventing death, right? It's hard to say, I'm not making impact. I'm not saying that. We literally are, as healthcare professionals, making impact as providers, whatever you're doing in healthcare, right? You are making impact. However, what I realized is that for many years, I had ignored the signs that it's not that I wasn't making impact, but I was actually limiting my impact in my workplace. And it wasn't like I just was in the workplace and it was limited. I think there's an evolution for many of us that happens. And I think it's really important to recognize that our workplaces for many of us are really important places for us to test, to learn, to grow, to get the experience. And then for some of us, it's the place where we're going to be able to thrive and do the work that we feel like we're called to do. But some of us, however, I don't know why, but for some of us, it has to change. For some of us, the workplace has to change. Maybe the issues are around leadership or around what the priorities, the values, the mission of where you're at. But at some point, for some of us, unlike the general population where people just, you know, I'm doing this now and I'm doing that, those of us in healthcare usually stay right on the same thing and are told, okay, you're going to stay here and do this for 20 years. Okay. And for someone who is definitely a mover and shaker and gets antsy, right? I realized that that was a tension for me. That was a point of contention. And some of you can relate to this. Some of you are like, what are you talking about, Omalar? Look, I get my paycheck. I'm good. Things are okay. But, you know, a lot of us are told to do things on these three tracks, either a clinical track, an academic track, or research, right? Anybody remember the tracks for promotion inside of your organization where you talk about like, okay, I'm going to do research, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do or education, and that's where you're supposed to focus. And, you know, I think that's all well and good, right? But all of those tracks, one thing is that they are defined and they're also confined to making impact through the traditional healthcare system. And what I believe the power of being a diverse population inside of medicine allows for us to do is for us to break traditions, quote unquote, that have been set up for a specific type of person, and to say, actually, we can probably achieve even better goals by doing it a little bit differently. And given the fact that there is evidence that communities of color, the communities I am extremely worried about and care about on a daily basis, I have hesitations and doubts, as many of you, that within these systems that often are mistrusted for very good reason, that we're going to be able to transform people's lives, right? I think that we have to think about, are the people who need support, are they even getting into the system? Are they even using, you know, the system in the way that we think can be beneficial? Is it beneficial even when they make those interactions or those clinical encounters? And so our goal is, I think most of us probably are like shaking our heads, not really, no, it doesn't seem to be a perfect match, right? For communities that have been ignored, dismissed, devalued inside of the traditional healthcare system. And so one of the things, of course, is our presence. We say, hey, I have to be in there and I can help, you know, avert those kinds of issues. It's true. That is definitely important. But then there are people who are kind of like, I'm not even coming in there. I'm not even coming through that way. And how do we get to health equity if that's a significant proportion of our population? So many of us as Black, Indigenous, women of color have recognized, you know, therefore we have to do things differently. So many of us have our job, right? The thing we get paid for. And then we're doing community health education. We're doing health fairs. We're doing advocacy with, you know, organizing groups. We're doing delivering services inside of community organizations or partnering with them. We are creating health programs in barbershops and grocery stores and childhood daycares, right? It's exhausting when you hear me even talk about it, but this is the truth. And now through this work, you know, we often have developed these extensive networks and one looks at us and they're like, wow, you're doing all these things. And we realize that all of these things are the things that are really exciting us, but they are also the things that have not received value, we have not gotten protected time. We have not been able to get compensated so that we can continue to do this work or make it the central part of our work. And so the things that we find potentially impactful or that we've learned can really move the needle are things that we can't even devote our work to as healers, as people who are specifically and intentionally focused on changing somebody's health status, right? And knowing that these are avenues to do it, but not having the buy-in or not having the, you know, the, let's say it's something that is temporary or adjunct to the core services that are prioritized in certain organizations. And we realize, I think, one of the things I realized is that the breadth of doing all of these things doesn't allow for us to show up at our highest level. And that doesn't mean that we're not showing up amazing. We're not doing amazing work that's making impact, but it actually pales in comparison to what we could do. I'm going to say that again. It does pale in the comparison in what we could do if we actually had the time and the ability to really center and focus on these things that we found in our experience move the needle. So we end up limiting our impact. Yes, we do. Okay. And for me and for many of the women I get to work with, this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where a decision is made. And so one thing I want you to think about is if you've already shifted, does this resonate? If you haven't shifted, does this resonate? I want you to figure out, because it's important that we, you know, we actually should push ourselves, there's, you know, and say to ourselves and have the tough conversation about, is this the way that I want things to look for me? Do I want to do, well, I like to say when I ended up hospitalized, I was doing 5 jobs and getting paid for one. And there are definitely a few of us, right, who get to get paid for this work, right? They get that coveted community health role or the health equity director role, right? But the majority of us, because there's so many of us who are interested in this, they have to, you know, grind and look for funding and try to see if they can squeeze it in because there isn't going to be multiple roles to protect that. And so we make a change and we say to ourselves, how do we do that? And so if this is you, I wanted to talk a little bit about how could you potentially think about your workplace instead of it limiting, how could it lift and help you to either create something new internally, entrepreneurs, or externally, entrepreneurs? And what does that process look like? So I want you to, I'm going to take you through an exercise. And this is funny because I do this a lot with our clients inside of Melanin and Medicine when we're supporting them around their ideas and helping them to start building out their enterprises, whether that be nonprofits or for-profits. But it comes with doing some brain dumping, okay? So if you're driving, don't do this now. If you're not driving, make sure that you get a pen and paper. And, you know, maybe you can listen to it first and then come back and then actually do it. This is a really important exercise, and it's called our expertise inventory method. And so let me talk to you about it. So if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably at one time or another thought about starting your own health equity enterprise. It could be a consulting firm, or maybe speaking or training, or even starting your own practice. Or maybe you've already started this work, but you're desperately trying to scale and grow it. Invariably, I've found that there are usually two things that always stand in the way: money and mindset. What if you could learn a way to get access to the capital without taking out loans, stealing from your income, or retirement? Now you're listening. Great. It's time for you to get the Funding Your Healthcare Vision Workshop Bundle. This bundle includes three back-to-back infra workshops that address the mindset shifts, funding resources, and the strategy needed to secure hundreds of thousands of dollars in funding, along with two bonus panel workshops where you can learn directly from the women in healthcare who have already blazed this trail in getting funding needed to fuel their justice-centered dreams. So we believe that you can create a massive impact in your communities and the world and forever change the way we deliver healthcare. So we invite you today to get the workshop bundle and start or scale your space in the healthcare justice movement. You can go to bit.ly/fundingworkshopbundle. That's bit.ly/fundingworkshopbundle. Get your bundle today. What I want you to do is I want you to write all of the things, a list on the paper, as you think about your professional career, a list of everything that you have done. So from starting whenever your professional career started, right? So if you finished, you know, whatever training school you finished, the time you started practicing, whatever. So, right, for many of us, it's going to include clinical care. But then, you know, did you travel abroad and do like, you know, create, I don't know, a clinic or something? Or did you do talks with certain types of community members? Have you gone into schools and done like screenings? Whatever that is, I just want you to put down a list and just be as exhaustive as possible. As you think from the early parts of your career, nothing is too small as you think. And, you know, are you writing? Are you the person who does the research? And what does that research usually look like? Were you evaluating certain programs? Were you planning them? Were you in the community actually planning certain programs? So any of those things, I want you to just be exhaustive and write those down. Okay. So that is our list of excellence. Okay. That is our list of excellence. All right, good. You got it. So now what I want you to do is I want you to look at that list. Okay. And then what I want you to do is I want you to think about checking off the parts of that, because you've done a lot, right? But what did you actually enjoy? Okay, what brought you joy? What was, as you look at that list, what were the parts that were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, or I just love doing this. I just love being able to do this. It's like, I can't even think about the time, right? The time just goes. It doesn't even feel like it's a long time or it's a lot of work to do. So I want you to check off which one of those fit that button. Okay. And usually either people will do it like that, where they will, you know, check the ones that do fit that, or they'll cross off the ones that don't fit that. So let's do that, because that might be a little easier. So cross off the ones that don't fit that. Okay. So you should be left with now your excitement bucket. Okay. These are the excitement, right? Things that you've, your inventory of things that you have expertise in doing, right? It's expertise, but now you have your, you talked about what you do in excellence and then what you do in excitement, right? What excites you? What invigorates you? Then I want you to take that list and I want you to identify which of these have created the impact that you are most proud of. Okay. So as you look at the excitement list, I want you to look at those and I want you to cross off the ones that were great, but, you know, I don't think they were really impactful. You know, it was a good time. I want you left with the ones that you just like think about and you're like, wow, that happened. I did that. Like, you know, maybe you didn't do it alone. Most likely you didn't do it alone. Hopefully you didn't do it alone, but you know, you were involved in that. And so I want you to do that. That is your extraordinary list. Okay. Your list of extraordinary. So you just went in through your expertise, which is everything you've done, right? And you went through your list of excellence, and then you whittled it down to a list of excitement, and then you whittled it down to a list of extraordinary. Yes, doesn't that sound great? So this work is the work that you, this is the work, listen to me, this is the work that you need, okay? That you need, but more importantly, your communities need it, need you doing this, okay? Now, as you look at this, you might say to yourself, wait, I don't see what I'm doing now on this list. Yes, what a surprise. Or some of you are like, this is a slam dunk. What I'm doing right now is on this list. Awesome. And so I'm super excited. And this is the test, because this is telling me, is what you're doing limiting or lifting your impact? And there are a few things to think about, because this work is the work that you need to incorporate, but most importantly, the work that the communities you want to impact need for you to focus on. They need your attention and focus on this work. This is the gifted work, okay, that we whittle down to. So if this is not able to be accomplished in your workplace, in the structures that you have, if you've been haven't been able to negotiate this in, there's a question that needs to happen. Or I should say there's a decision that needs to happen. And, you know, not all of us are like independently wealthy or anything like that. But, you know, we can be plotting and planning in the interim if you've noticed there's a disconnect here. So you are being limited. Make no mistake, if there is a disconnect and it's not congruent with what you're doing. And with that decision, the question is usually, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue? Or are you going to change? And so change could look like a few things. How do we utilize where we're at to get where we need to be? So a few things are your network. I would love to say that it could look like engaging with the network you interacted with, your list of extraordinary. So as you look at that list of extraordinary, who are the people that you've interacted with? And going back to them, you got their emails, you know, go back to them and identify what are their needs now? What is priority for them at this point? Is this something that you can address? Is there anything on that list as you talk to and have those assessments and those interviews? Is there anything that you can address that you feel like, oh gosh, I would love to do that? And that's actually one of the things I do from my extraordinary list. And so when you're doing that, you're thinking about, wow, could addressing this issue that they've mentioned is a priority? Could that be a potential enterprise that allows me to make impact? And that enterprise could look like a center within your organization, or it could look like your own businesses. You know, I love entrepreneurship. So even though it is stressful, it's a good stress. It's that you stress, I think. I hope. And it's really important for you to think about what makes the most sense for you, okay? But I do want you to not miss out on your list of extraordinary. And I want you to think about then with that network, who could I partner with to get this funded? Who could just fund this? Who's available to fund it? Who's the organization that can help me implement it? If I need help to implement it, what does that look like? So these are really good questions. They're also big questions. And so that's why, you know, that's usually where a lot of the women that I get to work with, either we work in our incubator, sometimes our accelerator, our mastermind, but our incubator to really like get in the weeds on this and to build it so that then it's profitable, whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's a for-profit, but building so that it's profitable so that they can scale and sustain it. So the people who are depending on this, unlike a grant where it's like, oh, 3 years are up. Oh, well, sorry. I know you like this, but we don't got any more money. That's not what we want. And that's, and entrepreneurship may allow for you to really do some radical things, usually through social entrepreneurship. And it allows for you to really be able to do those things and continue, which is why I love our practice, Strong Children Wellness. You know, we get to dictate who we get to care for. And we just have to really be innovative about how do we make sure we can get funded for it, right? And, or how do we make sure it pays for itself? So in summary, we need for you, what I want you to do is I want you to recognize if you are being limited or you are being lifted in your current situation. You're going to create your expertise inventory. You're going to identify your extraordinary work, right? And the network that has helped you do that extraordinary work, okay? I want you to use that network to start to identify opportunities and issues. What are the priorities for your network? And could you create an enterprise to fill those gaps, to address those needs inside or outside? Are you leading from the inside or outside? What's going to be possible for you? And honestly, if you need help with any part of this, like solidifying the idea or getting started or scaling, maybe you've already gotten started, but you're like, oh, well, I'm losing money. I have a few people like that who come to us and, you know, let's get started. So what I would love for you to do is make sure you fill out a discovery form. That's the easiest way. You can go to bit.ly/mmdiscoveryform just to share what's going on. Definitely write that you heard on the podcast to come here so we know that you are a podcast listener. And let me know in the comments for this podcast on Apple Podcasts whether this was helpful for you. Or you can just find me, message me on LinkedIn, Twitters, Facebook, what's the other one? Instagram. You can message us at any of those, but it's really important for you to be able to do this work. And because I just want all of us thriving in the space that we're supposed to be, because it's us that gets to benefit, but our communities really get to have the impact from the work that you're not just doing, but the work that you're called to do at your highest level. So I hope this makes sense for you. I hope that this is extremely important for you. And the big thing that I want you to think about, you know, our affirmation for this week is really to move from your place of excellence to your place of extraordinary. Okay. I don't want you to be satisfied with being excellent. I want you to be driven by being extraordinary. Okay. And so think about what is it that's keeping you from being extraordinary, and who do you need to work with? How do you need to work with them in order to get to that place? Because we're all extraordinary, and there's no way we're going to let anyone or any workplace or anything keep us from fully manifesting that. So that is it. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I will see you next week with another episode of the Melanin and Medicine Podcast. Take care of yourself and keep going in the health justice movement. See you next week.
So I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. I hope you loved listening as much as we love creating it for you. Before you go, we'd love if you could subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on the Apple Podcast channel. That is how other people get to know about the gems that are in here. And also make sure that you share it with a friend. If you were inspired, don't feel stuck. We actually have our Melanin and Medicine Discovery Forum as a place where you can share what you're thinking about and get feedback from our team about what resources might be helpful. So make sure you check it out at our website, melaninandmedicine.co, or go straight to the forum at bit.ly/mmdiscoveryforum. You can choose your adventure. Otherwise, I will see you next week for another episode about how we continue and sustain the health justice movement and continue to do the work that you are called to do. See you next week.